Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Tuam Educate Together School was first opened in 2015, and they were told that they would be in the building for just a year. But 4 years onwards, they're still there. They've just got four classrooms, 100 students, a little bit overcrowded. And I've been given no answer from the Department of Education as to when they will receive an actual building of their own. And joining me in the line is the principal of the school, which is Nuala Burke. Good afternoon to you, Nuala.
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Nice to talk to you. Nuala, this is a bit of a mess, isn't it?
Yeah, and I suppose it's a mess that's been a long time coming. So, you know, as you said, when we moved in here in year one, it's part of the divestment scheme. So the department said you'll be in this building for 1 year and there will be amalgamations in the town between the Catholic schools and a building will be freed up and you will move into that building in year two.
Right,
and we were so innocent here, we're saying, oh, God, we'll be moving in year two, like we won't be wasting money buying blinds or doing up the place or anything like that. And we've come to the realisation, obviously, we're 4 years here now. The building is completely overcrowded and there's no solution for our junior infants for next year. We have no classroom for them.
And I'm sure they're signing up hard and fast. So you could actually get a lot more kids in there if, of course, you had the facilities to do so. But here's the problem. Who owns the land or who owns that particular land you're on? It's the Catholic Church, I imagine.
Yeah, so the building we're in, it was the former St. Pat's CBS who amalgamated with St. Charlotte's over a decade ago. So this building was completely empty when we moved into it. Now, we occupy a small portion of it, and a neighbouring school occupy a small portion as well. But over half of the building is empty. But I suppose I'm very conscious that it's not the role of the church to provide accommodation for us. It is, you know, the remit of the department. But I suppose we're in the situation where we don't care who provides the accommodation. We, you know, we have junior infants looking to start here next year and we've nowhere to put them.
Well, we've been on to the Archdiocese and they said it's not their problem. This is a problem with planning and they said it's nothing to do with them. So I assume that if there was planning available, and I suppose the state would have to purchase the land.
I suppose it's not their problem, but there is empty classrooms in the building that, you know, that aren't being used
and
by anybody.
And is there a health and safety issue with these empty classrooms as to why they can't be used, or is there some other issue as to why they can't be used?
No, not that I'm aware of, because when we moved into the section of the building that we're in, you know, a team came in and they refurbished the whole building in 6 weeks, this section. So it was rewired, replumbed, all that kind of thing to bring it up to modern standards. So I wouldn't be aware of any reason why that couldn't be done if the permission was given by the church. But I suppose I can understand the church's frustration also because, you know, they in good faith gave us this building for 1 year and, you know, we're like the people that forgot to go home from a house party. We're still here four
right.
years on. So, you know, they're in an awkward position also.
And what about communal land outside, like if they want to play GAA or hurling or soccer or whatever it happens to be, or do sports or activities? Is there communal land outside that you can use with the other school that are also utilising that building?
So there is a field, I suppose if you're familiar with the area, there is a field right beside the school that's owned by the diocese. And initially we did look for permission to use that for our sports day and that wasn't granted.
And why not? Why wouldn't they grant you permission to use it for your sports
day? We didn't get a reason, just it wasn't available to us, but other schools in the area can use it during
so
the day.
If you're a Catholic school, you can use it. Is that what you're trying
well,
to say?
Well, yeah, it is all the other Catholic schools that use it. Now,
right.
We have been very fortunate because the community here have been so welcoming, and Tuam Stars is our local GA club, and they're just up the road from us, and they've been brilliant. So we use their facilities for after-school football. We host our sports days there and everything, so the children aren't missing out, and the community, you know, couldn't have been more welcoming since we have opened up.
I mean, the Educate Together schools are becoming more popular. Obviously, still the majority of schools, 85% of the schools in this country are still under religious or under Catholic.
Yeah, I think it's 96% actually that
overall,
are church-owned.
Yes, are church-owned of some description, yeah. But I think it's 86% are Catholic. But in saying that, you know, the Educate Together schools are growing. I mean, it gives people an option for those who don't want to send their children to a religious school or any particular religious persuasion, a school of any religious persuasion. But this is a big problem, I suppose, is buildings, because the argument from some is that the Catholic Church should give up some of their buildings to, you know, I suppose, allow for parents who don't want to send their kids to a Catholic school. But then the argument from Catholics and Christians is, well, hold on a second, we built them, we paid for them, and they're our schools. So,
exactly.
I mean, where do we go from there?
I suppose, like, the issue falls at the door of the department. And, you know, as you say, this is a problem. It's a problem for lots of startup schools, but a huge majority of the startup schools or developing schools are Educate Together. And, you know, I'm on the phone to you today, but I could line up 10 of my colleagues in schools around the country. you know, where they're all opening up in temporary accommodation. And it's like, you know, the forward planning department aren't looking forward enough because, you know, they're kind of looking from year to year. And even where we've a huge problem, last year we lodged an application for additional accommodation because although we have four classes and four classrooms this year, we have no dedicated room for our children with additional needs. And okay. we have a full-time resource teacher and a part-time. So they're working out of a corridor with three SNAs and they're trying to, you know...
That's awful.
It's horrendous. And, you know, you mentioned health and safety. We have four toilet cubicles and we have almost 100 pupils. So it's gone past a joke at this stage. And
well,
the plumbing is so old in this building that I spend half the day with my hand down the toilet trying to unblock it.
Right, so Nuala is not only a school principal, she's a plumber, electrician and handyman as well.
Oh, at this stage, yeah.
Let's be politically correct, handy woman.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Well, stay there for a second because Minister of State for Rural Affairs and Natural Resources and Digital Technology, Sean Canny, is on the line. Sean, good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Leo.
That's a terrible situation, isn't it, to be in? I mean, they don't... I don't know whether there's an element of snobbery here. You know, I'm not suggesting the Catholic Church or the Archdiocese in the area, but they wouldn't talk to us about it. They wouldn't even comment. Is there an element of snobbery that unless you're a Catholic school, we're not really going to bend over backwards and help you out?
Well, no. I would say, first of all, I want to say is that Nuala and the team and the school have been, a victim of their success. They're a fantastic school, and I've been in there a number of times to see them. And they are a real up-and-coming school. And the Educate Together schools are growing right around the country. And the Department of Education have made a decision to build a secondary school in the county, in the Ardmore area, to recognise the growth in the ETA.
Yeah, the demand for it. There is a demand for it, absolutely.
There is a demand, yeah. Yes. Now, what we have here is the demand here has... I suppose the success of the school here in Tuam has created a problem where they've grown year on year, and they have done that by being a very good school. So what I have been doing is I've been on to the Department of Education, who I believe are the department who have to deal with this, and we need to get this thing sorted out. And I will be working with the school, and I've had a number of emails and phone calls from concerned parents in the school about what's going on there. Now, I know the geography of the school. I know
What's the problem with allowing them in the interim until you get some sort of plan together for, I don't know, extra prefabs or for a new building, a purpose-built school itself? What's the issue with not being allowed to use the spare classrooms when they're actually there already?
Yeah, and I think that's an issue that we will be looking at, and the department will be talking to the diocese about that to see how we can facilitate this. Look at... There's no solution. There's no problem. We kind of find a solution for what to sit down and talk about it and see what the solution is.
Clearly there is a problem that we can't find a solution for. Or Nuala wouldn't be on the radio today.
No. The solution hasn't come yet. But I am confident that we will find solutions. We can't have special needs.
But it's taken 4 years to come up with that solution.
It's like this. There have been ongoing discussions, and Nuala would know this as well, with the diocese and with the department. So I think this particular problem we have now is actually will focus people's minds on getting a resolution to it.
Okay, so when do you think that resolution might come? You know, obviously you're the go-between, so to speak.
Well, I'm the go-between, but I represent the people of Tuam, and I'll be doing
absolutely.
That.
When do you think? I mean, they can't wait another 4 years.
Not at all. No.
So, I mean, Nuala needs a time frame. I mean, here's a woman who's doing a fantastic job, it seems, you know, looking after a school and students, and she needs a time frame. She can't be worrying about this for the next 3 or 4 years, so she needs a time frame.
No, and she won't be worrying about it because I know Nuala will be working away with me on this. And I think what it is that we need to sit down with the parties who are involved in it to find a solution. Mm-hmm. I will be talking to the Department of Education again today on it. Hopefully we'll be talking to the Minister McHugh today to see how we can bring this to a conclusion. And the last thing I would say is that, you know, I for one, cannot, I suppose, stand over the fact that you have children who need special help to be...
teach them out in the corridor is not much use. Yeah, that's not good.
And the other thing is that from a health and safety point of view. Now, we have to have proper toilets, and we need to have toilets that... will service the number of children who are in the school. Mm-hmm. And if you have 100 students, four tiles is not.
Yeah. And the other thing as well is, in relation to the sports grounds, this is something that surprised me, and their facilities. So there is facilities at the school, but they're not allowed to use them. But the Catholic schools in the area are. I mean, is there a resistance from the Archdiocese to allow Educate Together to integrate with the local Catholic schools, etc., and use that area? Why are they not being allowed to use that area?
And I don't know, and I suppose the Diocese will have to answer that. And
well, they won't. We tried already. They won't even answer. They won't make any comments.
Yeah, they said it's not their problem.
It's a planning issue.
No. Well, what I would say to you is this, is that the first I've heard of that particular problem. So I suppose it's something that, and I want to acknowledge the fact that Tuam Stars are providing facilities for the school here.
Yeah.
And look at...
And fair play to them, but it would be better if they could get their own facilities outside, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I think we're coming to a stage in this country where what we have to do is have shared facilities like that. And I think in Tuam, we have Tuam Stars, we have the rugby club, we have Dynamo Blues, all in this area here with sporting facilities as well. So I think we have to be looking into the future where not every person or every school can have their everything for themselves. They'll have to have shared services and shared facilities, and I think that's only a common sense approach.
Let me ask Nuala. Sorry, Nuala, you're still there. Do you believe the department, and indeed the minister stated, do you believe that they're taking you seriously enough? Are you confident this problem is going to be sorted out?
Well, I have to say, at a local level, like Sean couldn't have been more helpful to us, and Kieran Cannon as well. Like, the two of them have really worked on the issue and kind of brought it to the minister's attention. I am confident that a resolution can be found, but I just don't know what it is. And I suppose where we have a huge issue is normally at this stage of the year, we're planning to offer our infant places. And we had a meeting with our parents on Monday evening, and we had a representative from every family in the school there. And I thought I just laid it to them straight on the table, and I couldn't make guarantees that I can't follow through on, but I said I was confident that we would do all we could to get a resolution. But where the families are very worried is obviously the new infant families. But one mother came to me, and she has a son in second class and a daughter due to start in junior infants next year. And she said, should I be making alternative provisions for my daughter? And if I'm making them for my daughter, you know, I can't have my children in different schools. So this will affect our numbers and our growth throughout the school, not just our new infants. So I suppose I am confident. I know the minister is aware of it. And I suppose I have huge empathy for Minister Joe McHugh, because the divestment process was the brainchild of Rory Quinn. And Rory was really passionate about secularising education and all those kind of things. But this problem, like, Joe is new in the job, and this problem, he has inherited it. And I do have empathy for him. But his department have been aware of the issues in the school since day one.
And so what would you like to see, Nuala, happen? I mean, ideally, I suppose what you would like to see is those few classrooms freed up in the interim, so at least you can get on with the job and try and make things a little bit more comfortable for the students. But you do obviously want a long-term promise of your own building.
My ideal would be that if there's delays with the amalgamation progress for whatever reason, and that, you know, isn't our concern, that the department would just source a whole new building and just scrap that. And even ourselves as a school, as a board of management, like, we have identified one fabulous building in the town and other options where our whole school could just be rehoused.
And is that expensive, Nuala, if you don't mind me asking? What sort of cost would that be to the state?
That I'm not sure of, but there doesn't seem to be an issue with refurbishing buildings. What the department have said to us is that they won't build a new school for us because there are enough buildings in Tuam, but there needs to be a reconfiguration.
Yeah.
But if, you know, the talk of amalgamations in Tuam, I'd say since I made my communion, that's how long these talks are going on, even before our school opened. So I suppose we'd like to start looking, you know, for the department to be more solution-focused. And if the church have said that they're not giving the extra spaces, well, they own the building and they're completely entitled to say that. And rather than putting the blame on their doorstep, they've said that they own the building, then we need to be looking at another solution. And if that's having a whole new house for a whole new home for our school in September, then we need to be working on that now. And even the building, I suppose, that we've identified, that would need some refurbishment. Not a whole lot, but it would need some. And obviously planning and all that works. So that's why we're really anxious, even though January and September seems a long time.
And how is it affecting, I mean, just from a frontline point of view, how is it affecting the students themselves? Are they feeling the effects, or are you doing such a wonderful job, and I'm sure you are, that you're trying to shielding them from the problems that are there?
Yeah, I suppose I have been trying to shield them, and I'm so blessed here because we have such a committed staff, and because they're all working out of such a small area, you know, if they weren't all pulling together as a team, I'm sure I'd have a lot more problems. And like that, you know, I was embarrassed when I met with the parents on Monday to kind of outline the situation. And our parents with additional needs, you know, are familiar with the layout of the building and they know where the children are receiving the resource teaching. And they're not happy with it, but they're very happy with the quality of teaching and the quality of learning and how much the staff care about the children. So they're kind of willing to overlook it. Mm-hmm. But we've kind of come to the situation now where we're like, it's just not good enough.
No, it isn't good enough. It's unacceptable. And I think, yeah. In fairness to Sean, you say he's been very good and he's trying to help you out. And Sean, I do appreciate you coming on the air as well today. And I don't mean to be giving you a hard time, but I suppose people sometimes reach for the ones who they believe might be able to give the most amount of help. And you're there on the front line. You're in between, I suppose, the school and the state. And I suppose you're the one taking the bit of a hit for it.
He's the middleman.
You're the middleman, Sean. So, I mean, they're depending on you, Sean.
Well, what I would say is, as always, I would be representing Tuam, and in this case, I would be representing the school, and I would be making the strongest case possible. I suppose, you know, there's a lot of discussions have happened over the years. Probably not enough progress has been made.
No.
And in my tenure since I came into the Oireachtas here, has been to try and resolve some of the issues which have been ongoing. And last year was an issue with the school, which Nuala will remember, and we got that sorted and they were allowed to bring in students into junior infants. So we will continue to find solutions, and solutions will always be found. I remember a number of years ago we had a problem with Gale Square in Tuam, which was, again, oversubscribed in a place which wasn't suitable. Mm-hmm. And today they're in a state-of-the-art new school in the town, which I'm very proud has happened.
Well, that's great. And see, we are moving away, I suppose, you know, I know much to the discontent of many Catholics and Christians, we are moving away from the ethos of the Catholic Church when it comes to education, very much so. Now, don't get me wrong, there are still parents who want to send their children to Catholic schools, and that I respect that as well. But there are many parents now who don't, and as you know, of course, we're removing the baptismal barrier anyway from the Catholic schools. But it is time for us to start looking at how we can accommodate people who don't want to send their children to Catholic schools and send to a non-denominational school like Educate Together.
That is happening. I would say that is happening. And even I was earlier on this year, as I said, the Educate Together new secondary school, they have been selected as the patron.
Well,
I
can't understand, you know, I thought it was common sense many years ago, and Rory Quinn spoke about this on a broader scale many years ago when he was Minister for Education. I mean, when we look at the amount of schools in this country, primary schools particularly, which are run by the Catholic Church, under the Catholic ethos, why the state can't, i.e. either purchase or take, depending on how much money they owe us, a lot of those schools away. I'm not suggesting taking all the schools in every area away from the Catholic Church, but certainly take a percentage away. Because if we look at the most recent census, the majority of the people in this country, yes, still claim to be religious, but only 48% of people claim to be religious, 85% of people claim to be Catholic. And that's only because they were born Catholic. Many of those people don't want to send their kids to a Catholic school anymore. So we've got to look at the percentages and start weighing it up and saying, well, hold on for a second. We need to provide schools. And there's already, 3,400 primary schools in this country. We probably don't need to build any more schools. We just need to change the way we do it.
Well, I suppose there's common sense has to prevail and will prevail. And it's just that it has taken, it has been taking a lot of time within the Department of Education, whose role it is to provide the facilities and education facilities. Mm. So I think what will be happening is that we'll be moving along, and I have a good relationship with Joe McHugh.
And maybe in the meantime as well, Sean, you could get on to the local archdiocese and find out why they're not allowed to use the local sports facilities right outside their own front door. That seems bizarre to me. There is an element of snobbery there, I think, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say...
I know you wouldn't, I would, but...
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Well, listen, all I can say to Nuala and to the people who are concerned is that we will work mightily to make sure that we find solutions to the problem that is here and has been ongoing. And I suppose I've been working on it behind the scenes for probably 2 years or maybe even more. And it's just that with change of ministries, stuff like that, you have got to go back in again and readdress it with the minister, because that's the level I will be dealing with today.
I'm looking at some of the text coming in. This is turning my stomach. What do we pay tax for? The government need to intervene. Another person says, disgusting, Niall. How can that man say that there's no snobbery in the diocese? I thought the church was all about helping people. It's a pity the political establishment wouldn't grow a pair. Somebody else says, fair play to that principal of the school. She's doing a wonderful job under the circumstances she's been given. Fair play to her. All right, well, look, lads, I have to wrap it up. Thank you very much indeed as well, Nuala. I appreciate you
coming
on the air.
Thank you so much,
Nuala, will you keep in touch with us and let us know how you get on?
Hopefully hopefully I'll be on tomorrow and we'll have a solution. And
yeah, because I mean, all this, I mean, in fairness, the minister, he said there's been a lot of talk going on, but I think that it's time the talk stopped. And,
yeah,
you know,
it's time
and
for action.
And we get some action, absolutely.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi award winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hit.